Hey, it's great to see such a wonderful turnout of moms today for the topic on some time management tips. I'm really not an expert on time management because all of us are students. All of us are students of life. We're all trying to do the best we can with the time God gives us each day. And there's a saying that I guess what we are is God's gift to us. What we become is our gift back to God. So we want to make great use of time, which is a precious gift. Time is a precious gift. Now, I figured one of the best ways I could help you was to have everything already on paper for you. Because that way, if you have to leave early, or if you have things going on, or if it's tough to hear, if you have to go out to take care of the baby, you are welcome to take these home with you. If you didn't get a copy of these, I think I made 26 copies, so we may be one short. What I wanted to do first is just really to walk through these with you, and in here are some tips on time management, as well as a number of other things. Let me start with this one. I go to a lot of seminars. I've seen Zig Ziglar in seminar, who's a motivational, inspirational speaker in sales and management. I've seen him maybe 4 or 5 times. And once when I was there, he had an interesting thing. Would look something like this, called How to Live a Well-Rounded Life. I adjusted it and added a few things to it. But let me just describe this to you for a second. This will help, I believe, in just looking at the different aspects of one's life. Most importantly is our spiritual life, our relationship with God and the church. And what we can actually do is sort of take this as a test. Start with one. It's really in a scale of 1 to 10. 10 is the best that you could be in that area. 1 is the worst. And so you could say, well, where am I right now in my relationship to God? Is my prayer life and my sacramental life, going to church, going to the sacraments, my daily prayer and spiritual reading, is that, you know, pretty good? Is that like a 5, 6, 7, 8, 9? Where is that? Because we can always improve our relationship with God. Or have we been neglecting that? I've often met people that I've talked to that oftentimes husbands that are very good in their job and career. They're just like at a 10, but their family life is low, or their spiritual life is low. Maybe they don't go to church. Maybe they don't pray. So we can sort of use this as an examination of conscience in the different areas of our life to see how we're doing. There's also health and physical fitness, our relationship with our parents or brothers or sisters. That's an important aspect of our life. We should see how are we doing there. Can we improve our relationship with our parents, with our brothers or sisters? What's our emotional well-being? Are we stressed out all the time? Do we have peace and joy and happiness? But what about our friendships? Do we cultivate good Christian and Catholic friendships in our life? What about our finances? Are we able to pay our bills? Are we able to at least do our best with some financial stability? And our careers and jobs, in your case, it would be being a mom, perhaps being a homeschooler. Continued education. This, of course, would have to do with three different ways that we can continue our education: through reading of books, through listening to tapes, and by watching good educational videos. Relationship with your children, how is that? Relationship with your spouse, how is that? Oftentimes, parents might have a great relationship with their kids, but the relationship with their spouse needs work. What about other skills that you want to develop, whether it be cooking or sewing or music? How is that? And then your intellectual life, continued development of knowledge in your own life. So I wanted to begin with this because this really shows different values that we have in life, different important aspects of our life, and we can sort of use this to determine there might be an area that we can improve on. You can even color from 1 up to 10 and just see where the different spokes of the wheel go. If you want to make a copy for your husband, give it to him as well. Even for your kids, in the future they might find this of interest to you. Now, let me go through this very briefly with you. This is a seminar I gave back in 1995 at another parish that I was in on personal development. This seminar, these were notes that somebody took and typed up from that course that I taught. And we covered personal development, determining one's values in life, goal setting, time management, and how to use the Franklin Planner, which happens to be the time management system I use. You don't have to use that. If you're happy with a day timer, or if you're happy with your own calendar, that's great. You don't have to use Natural Franklin Planning, which is what I use, okay? NFP, Natural Franklin Planning. Now, these ideas are based upon the writings and the talks and the tapes of Jim Rohn, Earl Nightingale, Brian Tracy, and Zig Ziglar. How many of you are familiar with Jim Rohn? Anybody? Brian Tracy. Okay. Zig Ziglar. He's probably the most famous. Earl Nightingale. I mentioned him in a homily the other day. Okay, under personal development, you'll see some tips on that. I'll just you can read this on your own later on, because I want to get to the time management part, but I think it might be valuable. For example, look at books. Interesting, Jim Rohn says that only 3% of Americans have a library card. How many of you have a library card? That's pretty good. Now, 80% of families last year in America did not buy one book. 58% of Americans never finish a nonfiction book after leaving school. 80% of the books in America are bought by 20% of the population, the top 20%. Now, Brian Tracy says, if you want to become an authority on any subject, study 1 hour a day on that subject. And if you do that, he says, in 3 years, you'll be an expert on that subject. In 5 years, you'll be a national authority. In 7 years, an international authority. Pick any topic that you want. Read and study on that for a half hour, an hour a day, and they'll be flying you all over the world to give talks on that subject. You might not be able to go because you're home taking care of your kids, which is a wonderful vocation. It's the greatest vocation in the world. But one of the things he does talk about here is reading, trying to read, if you can, to carve out even 5 minutes a day for reading. Maybe if you can get 10 or 15 minutes, that would be wonderful. 15 minutes a day would be the equivalent of one book a month, or 12 books over the course of a year. See, the average American reads one book a year. But if you read 12 books a year, what a wonderful thing that could be. I know many people, if they're able to read an hour a day, that's the equivalent of one book a week, or 50 books a year, and that will be 500 books in 10 years. Now, to get a PhD normally requires about reading 30 to 50 books. You would actually have the equivalent of 10 PhDs if you read for 1 hour a day. Wouldn't that be good? In 10 years, that'd be equivalent of 10 PhDs. Okay, then going on to cassette tapes. This is a great way to make valuable use of your time in the car. Oftentimes you're sitting there, you've got the kids off at an event, and you're just sitting there. Instead of listening to the radio or music, try to use it as education. As Brian Tracy says, turn your car into a university on wheels. Make good use of your precious time in the car. The average American drives 12,000 to 25,000 miles a year, which is 500 to 1,000 hours that you'll spend in your car each year, which is the equivalent of 12 to 24 40-hour weeks, or one university semester each year. So just by listening to tapes in your car, you can get a year's worth of college education just sitting in traffic on Route 66, or at the lights on Route 29 or Route 28. Then some other very good ideas as well. I encourage you to read this on your own. Then we'll skip over a few pages. Page 5 talks about using a journal. Do any of you keep a journal or some notes? Okay, good. Again, wonderful thing. And then you can just read this rest on your own. Then we're going to get back here to, let's see, page 6 is determining one's values. Page 7, I've done this with moms and dads, go through a goal-setting workshop, which is a lot of fun. And you can do that on your own. Some very thought-provoking questions on page 8 in the seminar. And page 9 is a 12-step process on how to achieve goals in life. So let's go to page 10. This is the time management part. That's really what I've been asked to focus on, is tips for time management. You'll notice in the center of page 10 that if you live to be 60 years old, you will spend 20 years of your life sleeping, you'll spend 7 years in the bathroom, you'll spend 6 years eating, 5 years waiting for things, 4 years cleaning your house, 3 years sitting in meetings, and 1 year looking for lost objects. See, because we have devotion to St. Anthony, so you can save a whole year of your life just by praying to St. Anthony to help you find stuff quick. We spent 8 months reading junk mail. That's from Brian Tracy's program called How to Master Your Time. This is really one of the best programs. I've listened to a number of different time management programs. I've taken the Franklin Planner seminar, which is how to do time management. I've taken that twice, and I've listened to the tapes about 4 times on how to use the Franklin Planner. But out of everything, this is the very best program. Brian Tracy even signed, autographed it for me when I met him on a few occasions. He says, go for it. You know, he's one of those motivational speakers. So, How to Master Your Time. It has 6 tapes all about how to set goals, how to get organized, how to establish your priorities, how to get things done, how to manage projects, time-saving techniques, how to overcome procrastination, how to, and then time management for salespeople. I'll give you the 1-800 number if you want to get this. This would be a great program. There's hundreds of programs from Nightingale Conant. 1-800-323-5552. 1-800-323-5552. Now, this Nightingale Conant is the largest producer of audio tapes in the world, and they do a lot of excellent programs on sales, management, business. But they also have a lot of New Age stuff, too. So you have to sort through the catalog. It has some good stuff. It has some New Age stuff. So I really can't recommend, I can only recommend some of their programs, like the things on sales, business, management. But this really is one of the finest ones out there. Now, there's a good quote from Ben Franklin. To love life is to love time, for time is the stuff that life is made of. Jim Rohn makes the quote that so many times we major in minors, and we should be very careful of that. There's a Pareto principle that called the 80-20 rule, that 20% of the people do 80% of the work, right? Or you've probably seen this in every group that you're in. There's always the 20% that, and then the 80%. One of the best questions for time management is Brian Tracy's question. He says, always ask yourself, what is the best use of my time right now? What is the best use of my time right now? It might be playing with your kids. That could be the very best use of your time right now. If you're sitting in, let's say, traffic, what's the best use of your time right now? If you're waiting for the kids, would it be listening to the radio, or would it be listening to something like the Bible on tape or something educational on tape? Ask yourself, what is the best use of my time right now? It might be praying the rosary at that moment. It might be sitting there talking to the Lord in silence. There's a saying, do what is goal-achieving rather than tension-relieving. Because listening to the radio, that's what attention relieving, but is it goal-achieving will help you? What's better, reading the morning newspaper or maybe reading a couple verses from Scripture? Do what is goal-achieving that will help you to obtain one of your goals in life, one of your values. Your relationship will help improve. Will it help to improve your relationship with the Lord? Will it improve your relationship with your spouse, your children? Those are all very valuable and very important goals in life. Thomas Carlyle, a great quote from him. People who would never think of committing suicide think nothing of wasting away their minutes and hours every day. I love that quote. Now, one of the things I mentioned in Mass is how to save 2 hours every day. And, of course, when I give this talk to regular people, not the cream of the crop like yourselves, usually the way that they can save 2 hours every day is just not watch television. See, the average person watches, 3 to 4 hours of television a day in America? So you can save many hours a day just by not watching television. You can actually get 2 extra hours in your day. There's other ways, of course, to get extra time in your day as well. We'll go through that in a couple minutes. One of the main points I want you to remember about time management is the importance of planning, of sitting down and planning the upcoming day, the upcoming week, the upcoming month, the upcoming year. And it's best to plan the night before, because then you get your subconscious working on things for the next day. Peter Drucker says that action without thinking is the cause of every failure, which is so true, that when we act without thinking, it's usually a mistake. But when we can plan, it can make a big difference. So sit down with your time management system, with your planner, and try to plan the day the night before. The other way to get 2 extra hours in your day is, believe it or not, through planning. 1 minute in planning will save you 10 minutes in execution. Now, I'll give you an example. Looking at it, let's say you have to go find someplace, you have to go meet somebody, or they give you the address. 1 minute in looking up that address on the internet or MapQuest, or 1 minute looking up that on a map, might save you 10 or 15 minutes of driving around getting lost. So you've just saved yourself quite a bit of time. Another example is, let's say you know that this coming month you have to go to the DMV to renew something or to get a license or whatever. Well, let's say you didn't sit down and plan out the month. Well, what happens is, let's say September 30th or August 31st, you think, oh no, I have to go to DMV this month. And then you go and you're stuck in line for 3 hours. When, if we had planned and thought ahead, thinking, well, I have to go this month, let me put it on my calendar form, and then you can call them and find out what is your least busy day. And they might say early in the month might be the least busiest time. And they might say, come on a Tuesday instead of a Friday, whatever. So that's another example of how just by thinking ahead and planning, we can save quite a bit of time in our life. I think, how many of you make grocery shopping lists? How many of you do that? Okay, so all of you do that because you know the importance of working off of paper, working off of a list. They say just by writing things down, it'll save you a whole lot of time. You know, try to think of an architect building a house without writing things down on paper. It's impossible. If you're going to build a house, you first write down the architectural drawings and you work from paper, you work from drawings. Okay, so if we can, try to invest at least a few minutes a day. I recommend 10 or 15 minutes the night before planning the next day. If you spend 15 minutes, you'll save 150 minutes the next day, believe it or not. And just by using a day timer or a planner, you'll be able to get another half hour, hour, even 2 hours from your day just by working off prioritized daily task lists. That's a little different than a to-do list. A to-do list is when everybody writes down what they want to do the next day, but they forget to do something very important. They forget to make it a prioritized daily action list or a task list, and I'll mention what that is in a second. Go over to the next page, page 11. A lot of good ideas on page 11. I'd recommend you read through this on your own. It talks about especially the most important hours in your day really are the first hour that you get up and the last hour before you go to sleep. Especially if you want to reprogram yourself to develop a skill, the golden hour, they say, is the hour in the morning and also at night before you go to sleep. That's why it's so important to read to your children before they go to sleep, because that's a very receptive time. The mind is more open to be able to change behavior the first hour of the day and the last hour of the day. That's why I'd recommend when you get up, don't listen to the news, because the news is negative, okay? Don't read the paper when you first get up. Read something inspirational, read something motivational. Try to listen to tapes when you're getting ready in the morning. Try to read something motivational, inspirational, or spiritual when you first get up. And the same thing before you go to sleep at night. Don't watch horror movies, okay, before you go to sleep at night. Why is it that you don't want your kids to watch horror movies at night, or hopefully anytime? because they'll have bad nightmares, because these things repeat all again and again and again throughout the night. But if you read them and you sit there on their bedside and you talk with them and tell them how much you love them and give them a hug and read them something comforting and spiritual and inspirational, that replays countless times throughout the night. So if you want to change the behavior, focus on the first hour of the day and focus on the last hour before you before they go to sleep. Okay, let's see. Go on to the page 12. This, I think, is probably how I can help people the most, is teach them how to use a day timer. Now, take a look at that triangle. Notice it's a pyramid. At the very bottom of the pyramid is our values in life. And then above that is our long-range goals, above that is our intermediate goals, and above that is our daily task list. Now, in the seminar, that's when you go on, they recommend, if you notice on top of page 13, that you spend some time looking over your values in life. What are your most important values in life? Well, obviously God would have to be first, I would imagine, and should be the case. If it's not the case, it should be the case in your life. I'm sure it is. A husband's life, children's life. Hey, how you doing, champ? And but also, what else? What else do you value? What else is important to you? I would recommend, I'm sure it's your family, your children, your spouse, your family life. So think through what is it in your life that you value? Because if we don't, if our goals, our long-range goals and intermediate goals and daily tasks, if they're not in conformity with our values, we're not going to be at peace. For example, look at the bottom of page 12. If someone values family life, but ignores his family and spends all his time at the office, he will not have inner peace because his daily tasks violate one of his governing values. So we all have governing values, and we would recommend that we always act in accordance with our governing values. Look at the second paragraph on page 13. One of your values could be to improve your relationship with Christ. That's your value, relationship with the Lord. A long-range goal would be to read the New Testament over the course of the next year, for example, or the 10 best books ever written on the life of Christ, Bishop Sheen's book, Frank Sheed's book. But what would be a short-term goal? Well, a monthly goal would be to read one book. That would be a good monthly goal, to read the Gospel of Matthew, let's say, during the month of September. Well, a daily task that you would want to make sure gets on incorporated into your planner is to try to read a few pages or a few verses from Scripture or a few pages of that book. And as I say here, that's the genius of this Franklin Planner system, is that reading a few pages from that book would actually show up on your prioritized daily task list of things that you want to do that day. Another example, your goal is to be a better parent. A good long-range goal would be to read, during your lifetime, over the next 10 years, the 10 best books ever written on parenting. That would be a wonderful goal for moms and dads to do. Like Gary Smalley's book, The Key to Your Child's Heart, Zig Ziglar's book, Raising Positive Kids in a Negative World. So your value is improving your family, your relationship with the kids. Your long-range goal is reading the 10 best books ever written on parenting. Your short-term goal, which is, let's say, a monthly goal, would be to read one book on parenting. So your daily task would be to read a few pages of that book. Do you notice how your daily tasks are in sync with your short-term, long-term, and your values? And that's where peace comes from. The key to this system is not just to have a to-do list, but to have a prioritized daily task list that's in harmony with your short-term, long-term, and your goals and your values. So a good question is, besides everything else that I have to do today, what can I take from my values and my goals and incorporate them into my daily prioritized task list? I go back to page 12 again. Now, in something like, let's say, I just use the Franklin Planner, but any time management system would probably be sufficient. Have here, let's see, let me pick a page that, let me go back here. Okay, so let's say you, on one side of the page, what I would recommend, no matter what kind of a time management system you get, it has a place for you to write your prioritized daily task list on one side. So you write down the night before everything you want to do the next day. Okay? It might be to do the food shopping, you know, the grocery shopping. It might be going to daily mass. You might have that on there. It might say, you know, doing your daily rosary. It might have, you know, you might have some spiritual things on there. You might have to go pick up the, you know, the dry cleaning. I don't know what people do necessarily during their. My daily life is different than your daily life, I'm sure. But I'm just trying to figure out what else would you have to do. Maybe you have to, you get gas in the car. You have to cook dinner. What else do you have to do? You have to do the laundry. You have to homeschool the kids. How many hours a day would you homeschool them? About 3 hours a day? 4 or 5 hours a day? Other things you do? Okay, you volunteer at the school. What else? What else do you oftentimes have to do once a week or during the day? Food shopping, the dishes. Okay, what else? Laundry, soccer practice, taking the kids to soccer practice, coaching. Anything else we do? Well, luckily, some of those things aren't daily. Some of those are daily things that you have to do. Some of those things are weekly. Some of them are a couple times a week. So the idea is, if we could, to schedule the day before the things that we would like to do. That doesn't mean you're going to be able to get all these things done, but at least it's a good idea to write them down, and then to write down everything you'd like to do. And then the next idea, as it says here, is prioritize them. Next to your task, don't worry, we're taping it, so don't worry, you can listen to it. And you have the handouts, that's why I got you the handouts. Okay. After you write down everything you want to do the next day, spiritual things, family things, personal things, then you prioritize them. A, you put an A next to it. Okay? An A is a vital task you really must do the next day. B is an important task. You would really like to do it. You don't have to do it, but you would really like to do it. C, it's relatively unimportant. It would be great if it got done, but you can do that after the A's and after the B's. So you prioritize A, B, C, and then actually D would be to delegate. Let's say you can have somebody else help with that, like the husband or like one of the kids. A D is for delegate, and E is for eliminate. Let's say sometimes I'll have something on my list for months and months and months. I'm never going to do that, so I just eliminate it. If you're not going to do it after all these weeks or months, you just let it go and just say, forget this. When you complete a task, you put a check mark next to the task. If you delete the task, you just put an X. Or if you want to transfer it to the next day, you can put an arrow. Once I counted like 87 days of I put an arrow next to it. So I said, why am I doing that? I'm just going to drop it. I'm just going to put that arrow next to it. If you delegate the task, you could put the person's initials next to it, like your kid's name, you know, taking out the trash, and you put EF or whatever their initials are. Now, on the other side of the page, let's say you have room for, well, over here is your prioritized daily task list, all the things you want to do that day, people that you want to call back, etc. You prioritize it with A's, B's, C's, D's, check marks, whatever. On this side is your schedule. And let's say if you're going to go to Mass that day, write in 9 o'clock Mass. And then you can just block off homeschooling for the next few hours, put down lunch, put down soccer practice, put down whatever, cook dinner, eat dinner, clean up from dinner, go to a particular meeting. So those things could be put down in your appointment schedule. On this side of the page, this has room for your notes, like directions to people's homes and other ideas that come up that you want to record, a daily record of events. That's why I like this particular system. A lot of people use those computerized thingies. What are they called? Palm Pilots. That's great. If people like that, that's wonderful. I'm happy that you can use it. I just prefer paper and writing things down and jotting down notes. It helps if I can write down the names of the parents and the names and ages of the kids, so when I go to their house for dinner, I know, you know, who's going to be there. And so that helps a lot. So then is getting your values and goals onto your prioritized daily task list. Some spiritual things, some family things, some continued education ideas. Okay, let's go on to, let's see if there's anything else on page 13 I wanted to cover. Now, one of the challenges, of course, for you would be, which calendar do you use? Because you probably have one. How many of you have a calendar on your refrigerator? Any of you? Okay. How many of you carry a calendar with you? Okay. How many of you have more than one calendar? Raise your hand. Okay. So now tell me the reason. You might be a very good reason, but your husband probably has a calendar, right? And then you have maybe a joint family calendar, and then you have your own calendar. Okay. Is that a good system? It might be. Is that good? Is everybody happy with it? I don't know really what the answer is, because it's going to be hard if you're trying to schedule things, but you always have to check with his calendar and the family soccer calendar and the homeschooling calendar.
Yeah.
In two places. Yeah. Well, one idea is that I think some moms do is that they carry their planner with them, their day timer with them. But then during the day, it's kept out for the dad to see, or every night they sync it with the husband's calendar. So that is maybe one way to do it, that you keep everything together. You have your schedules in there of different events that you need to do. That's one. I don't have the answer necessarily to that, but in most of the time management systems, when you listen to the tapes, you read the books, they say it's best to only work off of one working calendar. It's okay to have other, like the church calendar up there, so you know the mass schedule of events. But as far as writing things down, it's best to just keep things in one calendar, according to most of the experts. Okay. Then, on the last page, there's an interesting quote on top of page 14. Urgent things are not always important, and important things are not always urgent. For example, reading a book is never urgent, and that's why people put it off. But reading a book could change a person's life, and it's very vital. A ringing telephone is urgent, but it might not be vital. Let's say if you're having dinner with your family, it's best just to not answer the phone, because that's urgent, but it could be a sales call, and why interrupt something very valuable, like family time and things. So really the purpose of the time management is to help to lead a balanced life with reduced stress and to have more peace and to really be able to, in a sense, have a little bit more control. See, when we feel out of control, it's not a good thing. When we have a little bit more control in our life, it does help. Now, there are some books I'd recommend on page 14. I list about 10 books, a good number of cassette tapes on page 14 and 15. I would really recommend that. Let me just end before I have you get a chance to ask some questions. I know we're up against the clock. This personal development seminar number 2, take a quick glance at that, and you can read this on your own. It starts out with goal setting, and this is a wonderful story about John Gotthard, who set 127 goals down in his life, and he completed 108 of them. So it's really a fascinating event. Just a great thing. I would really encourage you reading that. There's a section here on financial planning, page 2. A great quote from Jim Rohn. Try to live on 70% of your income. Give 10% to charity, tithing, and then invest 20%. He says that a poor person spends his money and saves the rest. The rich person invests his money and spends what's left. Interesting thought. There's some good keys here to financial security. The key, see you, Champ. Are you leaving? You're not getting interested in the part on financial planning? Okay. It says the secret to financial security is to spend less than you make. Isn't that brilliant? Aren't you glad you came to this seminar? Spend less than you make. The average American lives on 110% of their income, so they're always in debt, most Americans. Brian Tracy says, how could a person go broke earning $10,000 a month? Very easy. Spend $11,000 a month. Now, okay, the rest of this on financial planning you can read. But actually, top of page 3 is interesting. It says if you invest $100 a month at the age of 20, at the age of 65, you'll have over $1 million based on 10% interest. If anybody can get 10% interest somewhere, let everybody know. Okay, but some other ideas here. Take a look. Now, page 3 at the bottom is our values. I just jotted down some of the values that we should have in life: our spiritual life, our physical health and fitness, our family, intellectual growth, financial stability, work, emotional well-being. And then in one of the seminars that I taught, I had the people sort of shout out what they felt would be the key ingredients, or actually they wrote down, or they we wrote them down on the board, and then this was typed up, on some of the important ingredients that should be there to have good spiritual life, good physical health and fitness, good family relationships, intellectual growth, financial independence, work and business. You can read these on your own. At the bottom of page 6, a very interesting point. Napoleon Hill's 5 major causes for failure in life. Number 1, drifting without aim or purpose. Number 2, lack of self-discipline. Who needs more self-discipline, including myself? All of us need self-discipline. Number 3, a negative mental attitude. It's very destructive. Number 4, an acceptance of mediocrity. Number 5, lack of persistence. Then the 5 major causes of success in life: having a definite major plan, an aim and a goal, consistent self-discipline, a positive mental attitude, a commitment to excellence. Brian Tracy says if you don't have a commitment to excellence, you'll accept mediocrity. And number 5, perseverance, never giving up. And then I end with from Earl Nightingale's Lead the Field. I'm so happy that I gave a homily and I actually mentioned somebody, and somebody went out and bought a book that I recommended, and that was Lorraine and her husband, right? He went out and bought the Earl Nightingale Lead the Field, which is a phenomenal set of 6 tapes. Somebody actually went out and did that. I'm so pleased. And their life has been changed dramatically. Okay. In 2 days, this is how to get into the top 5% of your field. And it talks about, I summarize what Earl Nightingale says, having a good attitude. Attitude is a magnet. You attract negative attitudes, attract negativity, negative faces, people, and things into your life. A positive attitude attracts positive people, positive places, positive things. Your outer world is a reflection of your inner world. You attract into your life people of like mind. Then treat each person as the most important person on earth. And 2nd is integrity. You can read about that. Number 3 is using your mind to study. Number 4 is setting goals. Number 5, living lives of service. And number 6, how to be a leader. And then pages 9, 10, and 11 is actually a summary of that first seminar that we just went through. But it does have a few other thoughts on that. So let me give you a chance to ask some practical questions. I'm sure you have challenges that I might not have addressed. So we have about, 7-8 minutes? I'd like to finish up. Will we finish up in about 7-8 minutes? Okay. Let's give you a chance to ask some questions or make some comments about anything we covered today or something I didn't cover. Jacqueline.
Okay.
The question is, how do you handle the unexpected? The answer is, you're always going to have unexpected things that come up. It's going to happen all the time. I can plan out the day, but then somebody calls and somebody's in the hospital, so I have to change things around and drive down to Fairfax or drive over to Fair Oaks or to Prince William Hospital, or somebody's dying in a retirement community, I have to go up there and visit them. Well, the key is, I think, having goals and plans, but be flexible. See, what survives in the storm? The trees that are rigid, they'll crack in the hurricane. The trees that can bend and sway can survive. Out in California, they build buildings now with a sway mechanism, because the old buildings, earthquake just cracks them. But if they can have some flexibility, then you won't crack. Okay? Nobody wants to crack. And the people that crack are the rigid people. But if you have some flexibility, I mean, the thing is, don't let it lose your peace. I mean, you want to have peace, you want to have happiness in your life. And if something happens that throws off your whole day, well, accept it. And you just try not to lose your peace. Do your best, and God will do the rest. How's that for time management? That's it. Write it down. Do your best, and God will do the rest. There are some things we can do by writing things down on paper, by planning the day. Remember, 1 minute in planning will save you 10 minutes of time. And that goes for writing down your shopping list or other things you need to do. Yeah, buddy, you have a comment about that? Okay, you do have a comment about that. He's a comment. Okay. Well, let me make my comment first. And there was a great story of Andrew Carnegie, and he called in a time management expert named Ivy Lee into his office and said, give me some advice on how to get more done. And Ivy Lee said, well, write down the 6 things you have to do tomorrow and then prioritize them, A, B, C, D, E, or 1, 2, 3, 4. And he said, tell your company to do number 1 and focus on number 1 and put all your effort into that. And don't do number 2 until you've completed number 1 or gotten as far as you can go at this time on number 1, then work on number 2, then number 3. And he said, and this was back at the turn of the century, he says, I'm not going to charge you for this interview, but send me a check with whatever you think this was worth. And a few months later, he sent him a check for $25,000. He says, that one bit of advice has multiplied our productivity by 100 or 1,000 times. So anyway. Well, you're multitasking all the time, like you're driving your kids, but you're also listening to tapes, or you're, ideas of multitasking in the seminar. Yeah, can you give me an example of multitasking? What do you mean? Well, I know people that when they vacuum, they'll have like the headsets on. Of course, that's not if you have a kid, you have to keep an eye on the kid. But if the kids are at school, you might be able to, for example, like whenever I wake up every day, I put a tape on. And so I listen to about a half an hour of a tape in the morning, about a half hour at night, just as I'm cleaning up the room and walking around. If I'm sitting at my desk doing something, I'll usually have a tape on, listening to tapes in my car. So we probably do a lot more multitasking than we think. Brian Tracy he says, how do you eat an elephant? He says, one bite at a time. And he says, you can't eat a whole thing of salami at one time, but you can salami it. You can cut it up into smaller pieces, and each one, and in fact, the Legion of Mary Handbook says this as well. Every impossible task can be divided up into 39 possible tasks. So conversion of the world, sure, break it up into practical things. So I'm glad you brought that up, because that is something I did overlook. You might not be able to say all 5 decades of the rosary at one time, but do a decade here, and a decade there, and a decade as you're, cooking the dinner, and a decade before you go to sleep at night, and you can get the whole rosary in. So divide and conquer, as somebody once said. So the question has to do with seminars or books for husbands and wives to plan together. Yeah, I think actually any of these programs will be good if you could both listen to them together and just sit down together with the calendar. That might be the key, is just try to get a little bit of time together, 5 minutes. Let's take a look at the coming week. Can we plan going out for dinner once this week as a family, for example? Or can we plan on doing a fun activity on Saturday morning? So I think the key is, right. So you have to plan time together. So you might have to do that. Just say, do you have 5 minutes that we can plan the coming week? I think all these seminars would be helpful if you can get both of you to listen to it together. Okay, well, it's called As a Man Thinketh, As a Man Thinketh by James Allen. Should be at any bookstore like Barnes & Noble or Borders should have it. James Allen, As a Man Thinketh. And then any of the books that Earl Nightingale is the one that the Bennetts bought and completely transformed their life and their marriage and their family and their parenting. I'm just teasing you. But that... Oh, yeah, Key to Your Child's Heart. Yeah, Gary Smalley's books. It's phenomenal. I'm so glad somebody else did listen to. Good job. It's not that people do listen, but it's just getting out to actually get around to buying the book and doing that. Wonderful. No, it works like magic. How's that? Is that better? Just teasing. It works like a mystery. Mysteries are good. But wonderful point. The Holy Spirit should be your best friend. Pray to the Holy Spirit every day. Say, come Holy Spirit, many times throughout the day. One last example is if you had a big jar, and let's say you have a whole bunch of sand and you have a baseball, and if you put the sand in first, the baseball will go on top and you won't be able to close the lid. But if you put the baseball in first, then you can pour the sand in and everything fits. So the baseball represents God and putting God first, your spirituality, your prayer life, sacraments. Put God in the jar first, and then all the sand fits in and you can get everything done. Like Jesus said, put first the kingdom of God and everything else will be given you besides. I think he said that, or Shakespeare, I forget his name. He said that. No, it was the Lord. It was the Lord who said that. God in first and everything else besides. Okay, what we do is closing prayer. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. World without end. Amen. Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.